Well, good afternoon. We have a full house today, and I understand one of the reasons we do is we have the homeschool civics class with us today. Would members of the staff and I guess their parents who are homeschooling them, if they're here, would they please stand? Very nice.
Come on, don't be shy.
Very nice. Thank you. Please be seated. Now, I understand that one of the justices' children is in the class, but I won't make that child be embarrassed by standing. But
what,
I understand
what are
that
the initials?
I won't even do that. But I understand that Justice Kelly did come out and talk with you, so you know a little bit about the case that's coming up, which is always helpful. I will talk about that in just a jiff. This part of the presentation is a combination of the work of the Supreme Court and the State Bar of Wisconsin called Court with Class. So you have received some information, and we're very happy that you could come here today and now hear the oral argument. Since we've had a little bit of a look at you, I will introduce the court to you. Seated on my far right is Justice Rebecca Bradley. Next to her, Justice Annette Ziegler. Next to me, Justice Shirley Abrahamson. I am Pat Rogensack, the Chief Justice. On my left, Justice Ann Walsh Bradley. Next to her, Justice Michael Gableman. And the chair at the end is where Justice Kelly would sit were he participating, but he is not participating in this case. So, with all of those introductions out of the way, are you ready to proceed, counsel? Please do.
We do it today, but from now on.
Thank you.
I'm Sarah Huck, and along with my colleague, Melinda Eskra, we represent the petitioner appellant, Dr. Margaret Calera, who's also with us here today. This case provides an opportunity for the court to determine the deadline by which citizens aggrieved by the issuance of a highway order changing the layout of a highway is to file their petition for certiorari review in the circuit courts. The remedy that Dr. Calera seeks here is for this court to reverse the decisions by the circuit courts that found her petition for review untimely and to remand to the circuit courts for continued procedures and ultimately decision on the merits of her petition. Our position, petition of the petitioner, is that the time to file for a review of the issuance of a highway order begins to run only at the time the highway order is filed with the Register of Deeds and publicly recorded. Only at that point does the highway order become what should be considered a final determination, and the time period to run for a time period of 30 days in which to file the petition for certiorari review under Section 6813 should begin to run. Everybody who has looked at this case or at these facts up to this point, the courts, the parties, have all agreed that the pertinent statutes are ambiguous. They don't particularly talk to each other in Chapters 82 and 68.13. Nonetheless, that is, of course, our starting point, and our first must look at Chapter 82.
Can I just ask you at the outset, if the order was denied, there would be no filing, right?
That is correct.
So then how would your rule work under that scenario?
There would be the possibility of having a different rule for whether there is an issuance of a highway order or if there is a denial. Under Chapter 82, when a highway order is issued, there are next steps that still need to occur before that highway order becomes final. If there's a denial, there's no further procedures anticipated, and the consequences coming from a denial of a highway order are different. The status quo is preserved, and the decision can be revisited in 1 year. It is final only for 1 year before it can be revisited.
What's your best argument that the statute calls for the relief that you suggest?
Because Chapter 82 requires that there be a highway order and defines highway order as a written, well, requires a legal description of scale map. It must be written. It can't be an oral determination. So only then at the point you have a highway order that is completes a procedural process and is filed, is it finalized. At that point, under 82.15, we're directed to look at Section 6813 and try to read and understand what does receipt of final determination make. And so it is akin to the filing of an oral order. Sorry, if there is an oral order from a trial court, for example, it's given, the decision is given to the parties in front of them. It still requires that filing before the time period to file, for example, a notice of appeal would run. And so we see that final step sort of in the process under 82 where a highway order is issued as providing the finality. Nothing more can be changed, and we can now turn to 6813 and have a final determination for a highway order.
In your briefing, you assert that it's not until the Register of Deeds reviews the highway order and determines that the contents conform to the statutory requirements that the highway order can become final, which suggests to me that the Register of Deeds is reviewing the order to ensure statutory compliance, but you don't cite to anything. Is there some documentation that that's actually what happens with the Register of Deeds office?
Statutorily, there's nothing required that sets forth their obligations in terms of accepting that. In the record, in the affidavit submitted by Dr. Pallera, which is at our app 126 to 127, in her affidavit to the circuit court, said that she had been told when she had taken the draft or proposed order, which she was sent at the end of September by one of the town clerks to the clerk's office, they had said to her that it would not be accepted for filing. It wasn't in final form. So there is that discussion that's reflected in Dr. Pallera's affidavit. Moving back to Chapter 82.15 and the statutory language there, again, when we're talking about a person aggrieved by a highway order, of course, the refusal to issue an order, may seek judicial review under 6813. And again, I think it's important to walk through all of that language. First and foremost, you need to have a person aggrieved, and there's no question about that as it relates to Dr. Pallera. She regularly drives the highways and is very concerned, along with certain of her neighbors, about the safety of that intersection with the changes that have been made to it. The term highway order in 82.15 actually is a defined term. The Chapter 82 gives us some sense of what is meant by that, and it requires a legal description as well as a scale map. This is the reason why the town's position that the decision given orally at a meeting by the towns for here it occurred on September 9th cannot possibly be the starting point for the 30 days to run. That interpretation completely reads out the language of Chapter 82 that requires a highway order. And that highway order has to be written. It cannot be oral under the terms of Chapter 82. And so it's only if you ignore all of that language regarding the definition of a highway order that you could set the start at the town board meeting and the oral vote at that time. Only once you have that highway order can we move and turn to the final clause in 82.15 that then directs us to 6813 and the ability to seek judicial review. This is also looking at 6813, and one of the difficulties in trying to reconcile the highway order process and the review process under Chapter 68 is that Chapter 68 is not at all geared towards the type of proceedings we see in Chapter 82. It is obviously intended towards parties who are participating in an administrative review. It is a process. It lays out a process for protecting their constitutional rights, due process. And so when we look at the language in 6813 that discusses 30 days within receipt of final determination, it needs to be understood in the context of basically the inapplicability of Chapter 68 up to that point. Because ordinarily, by the time someone is seeking review under 6813, they would have obviously been participating and would have been required to have mailed to them or delivered to them a copy of a written final determination.
No, regardless of whether 68 really is very applicable to Chapter 82, highway orders. Statute says got to use it, right?
Correct.
Okay, so this is an interpretation of that to facts that they don't quite fit, right?
Correct.
And my understanding is that there are three possible and maybe all reasonable ways of interpreting the statute, right?
That have been presented in this case.
Okay. So first, but not necessarily in the order and which are best, but anyway, one is 30 days from the recording. And we've already said that you have to record if it's granted, but not if it's denied. So, and your response there is you could use it, but you'd have to have two different rules, one for grant and the other for deny, right?
Correct.
Okay. Second, you don't like that, or do you like it?
We do like that. We think that it should be from the date of recording it with the Register of Deeds.
Okay. And when is there any requirement that it be recorded within X number of days from passage?
No, not within Chapter 82 itself. I'm unaware of any time limitations. That's within the...
Because there may be a delay in writing it up. There may be a delay that it's not recorded because it's not in the right form. It could take a long time, which would extend the time for objection.
That's correct. It would extend the time for to file. It would also be something that is within the town's control.
That's
here
right.
You have two towns. They issued highway orders on different dates, and they recorded them on different dates.
And then the question will be, which one do you follow? And that's another issue in this case, in terms of the two counties and how you deal with that.
Given that there are two counties involved and different dates, mm-hmm. I don't think that there is any of the options guarantee you will always have the same starting date. On the facts here, the town boards met together and had a single vote, but that is by coincidence.
Yeah, but once you move away from that, the single vote,
dates are different.
That's right. So the second one is the deadline for filing should be 30 days from the petitioner's receipt of a copy of the highway order. Now, they don't have to send the petitioner a copy, do they?
There is no requirement that the petitioner receive it.
So if they don't ever send it, and if we use that interpretation, then the petitioner has forever.
One of the major difficulties would be that you could lack finality.
You don't have a set date for the 30 days to start running.
That's correct. It would all be based on a person-by-person circumstance, and even as here, there could be factual questions about the receipt, whether somebody was actually notified.
Did she get a receipt?
She did receive what was sent to her.
From which county? From which county?
She received in late September, she was sent in late September by each of the counties. The town clerk sent her by U.S. mail a copy. It was sent out on September 29th.
Mm-hmm.
And separately, the other town emailed a copy to an email address that her son uses that mm-hmm. then gets to her a few days later. and to an attorney who has represented her on other matters, but not on this matter, okay. Also at the end of September.
Mm-hmm. All right. So if there's no requirement, that raises a problem about number two. Is there any other issue about number two?
I think
you can have different dates on that, too, once you have two counties.
The primary issue, I think, primary difficulty with seriously administering that is, of course, the finality, and it's also that there is a potential for change to what is sent prior to it being recorded. So if something is sent out in terms of a highway order or something that's proposed or just the town board voted and they voted to make a change, there could be questions about whether that's sufficient or not as well.
Okay, I hadn't thought about change, but they can change it even after they adopt it.
I don't see any reason why they could not. Perhaps they'd have to re-notice a meeting, so there'd be presumably municipal requirements that would apply under our open meetings laws, but nothing that would... Mm-hmm. Town boards are free to change their minds.
Okay, and the third interpretation is... 30 days from the town vote, adopting or refusing. So it covers adopt or refuse, and there must be a record of the town. I assume that there's a record of the town vote.
If it's conducted and nothing in the record suggests that it wasn't, there would have been some notice. There would have been an ability to attend itself. But it would be impossible, or at least I shouldn't say it would be impossible, but on the record here, there's no information that there was any kind of written description or map describing the changes to be made. There was an oral discussion and a vote.
Okay, but there is no requirement that she be given notice of the vote.
Where no.
The same as she just doesn't have to get notice.
Right. Chapter 82 does not contemplate sort of notice to most, with exceptions not relevant here, notice to anybody, either that of the intention to make a vote or the ultimate decision or that it be sent.
But it could be argued that she got notice that this was going to happen sooner or later, and therefore it's up to her to watch the town's meetings. Right?
And here, of course, the towns had already made the changes to the highway outside of the requirements of 82. The highway had been altered before the September 9, 2014 vote, which the towns agree was meant to retroactively approve the alteration already made to the highways. So we are outside of what would be anticipated under Chapter 82, but I think to your point, there is, under any of these scenarios, an obligation on a person who is interested, a citizen interested in their community, to pay attention, and if this is something that is of concern to them, of interest to them, to inform themselves.
You keep using the word citizen, but you don't have to be a citizen under
correct.
The statute.
Correct. A person aggrieved. Absolutely correct.
Okay. That's important.
Right, and it stays true to the statutory language, and I appreciate that correction as well.
Okay. So what I hear is, one, there's no totally satisfactory interpretation under any of these three, and whether it's satisfactory in any particular case will just depend on that case. Because here, the one that seems so obviously simple is, when did the town vote? And that's interpretation three, and you're telling me they voted on day one, but that they didn't do it quite right, and then they had to, day one and three, but it could be month or whatever it is, where they have to non-pro-tonk, whatever that means, approve it.
I think that while that might be an easiest way by the calendar, it requires ignoring the language in Chapter 82, again, that requires that a highway order that is a defined term as requiring a legal description, requiring writing. It means writing that out, essentially, of 8215, that only permits a person aggrieved by the issuance of a highway order, or the denial of one, to actually pursue a remedy under 6813.
What also means you have two dates in this case. The first one that's not a writing, or if it's a writing, it wasn't done according to Hoyle. And then the second one, which is later.
Right. There are multiple dates before you get to what we consider the final determination, when whatever I's need to be crosses or T's, I's dotted, T's crossed.
Okay, so number three's out. And between one and two, you prefer one, or don't I have that right?
The option that we put forward is that 30 days should run from the date that it is, the highway order, the written highway order, is filed with the Register of Deeds. And here that would be...
That's number one. You say recording. Is it recorded or filed, or doesn't it matter?
It is, to my mind, the same, and the statute uses the term slightly differently, uses each term, but without apparent distinction.
Mm-hmm.
Without apparent distinction.
If they would have done this right, would the document be filed with the Register of Deeds before, during, or after the work is accomplished on the highway?
My understanding of the process outlined in Chapter 82 is that preliminary procedures include review, a potential for a map, a safety study, and that a written highway order is issued after a decision to memorialize whether or not it is granted or denied. So in ordinary course, you might have descriptions of the work that is intended to be done, but that a highway order, as defined in Chapter 82, is what is issued with the legal description and the map to lay out how the highway is to be altered.
Before the work can be started.
Before the actual, right, shovels on the ground, correct.
Here the opposite happened. They did the work and then after the fact approved it?
Correct. That's correct.
This document was filed in what agency?
The highway order,
yeah.
That was each town,
yeah.
Issued one that includes the legal description,
right.
And it was filed with the Register of Deeds for each county.
Okay, because 8217 says that all orders shall be promptly filed with the office of the town, city, village, or clerk where the highway is located, except as otherwise specifically provided. So is there someplace in the chapter that says it should be filed with the Register of Deeds rather than as 8217 says?
I'm uncertain of an answer to that. I'll need to look at it more closely.
Maybe
I apologize.
Maybe 8212?
Right. 8212 addresses the...
Maybe I'm wrong, but that's just wrong.
Addresses that the that shall be filed with the town clerk.
It shall issue a highway order. I'm reading for sub two for the county in which the highway is, or I missed a line. It shall issue a highway order. The highway order shall be recorded with the Register of Deeds.
For the county, right. I see that, and I don't quite know how to reconcile that with 8217.
Yes,
but
they can
perhaps
do both.
They didn't, there's no question that there was a recording with the town, and that was enough in this case. Right?
And it was the highway orders themselves are in the, are included in the materials, and they were both ultimately accepted by the Register of Deeds, the stamp in the upper right-hand corner.
Right, but there wasn't an argument that they were earlier filed with the town and that was sufficient. That's not part of this case.
No.
Okay. All right. Thank
Council,
you.
Council, what I was just looking at, 8212 sub 2, indicates at the outset, if the board determines, under sub 1, after an application or resolution, to lay out, alter, or discontinue any highway, it shall issue a highway order. I don't see, and I ask for your assistance in pointing it out, if it exists, what process exists if it does not agree with the application or resolution. Sub 2 appears to me
to be a favorable response.
So I think that if a request for change is denied, we have a situation that was before the court in Dawson.
Yes.
There was a denial, and there the court determined 6813 absolutely applies and had the footnote setting forth two alternatives for when the time would run. I am at my yellow light, but...
You keep going until your red light comes on.
So the two alternatives were... not the alternative that you're advancing, is that correct?
That's correct. Dawson laid out two alternatives, either the initial vote or personal receipt of the vote. Nothing in that footnote, to my view, suggests that those are the only alternatives. In the Dawson case, which again was a denial, the court concluded that 6+ months at least since it occurred was certainly untimely and didn't.
That's right. So they were able to dodge it. So let's say we're not able to dodge it. What do we do about denials?
In the case where the denial, which is not our case, because of course one was issued, I think there'd be options available. Potentially the town board vote, as was identified in Dawson. Also, if there are meeting minutes that come out of that town vote, you have a documentation of how the vote occurred and what the towns actually did. Those would be perhaps two dates that would be available to the court to try to set a deadline. But it's not, there's no possible way that it could be the same with the theory that we're advancing, that it should be recordation or filing of it with the Register of Deeds.
Well, subsection 3 of 8212 also says the determination. It doesn't talk about an order. And subsection 3 talks about a denial. So it's the determination not to issue a highway order. So it has different language that it's constructed around, too.
Correct. There's different language. Subsection 3 clearly lays out, as I say, sort of the how it proceeds if there is a denial, and it doesn't speak to 6813, which refers to the final determination.
But I would assume that any denial, just like any granting, there would be an opportunity for some kind of review.
Absolutely, and I think the court in Dawson answered that, yes, there is an opportunity for review, left open the precise question of what might start that. Just another question. I'm now at my red light.
Thank you very much. Response?
May it please the court. My name is Sarah Gehrig. I'm from Nowlanumowit, and I represent the towns in this action. Your Honors, I'd like to start with what I would refer to as some essential facts, and Your Honors have asked some questions about those, and I just kind of want to lay them out if I could. In 2012, the Rock County Highway Department, not the towns, began work to reconfigure an intersection at the intersection of County Line Road and County Road M. The new layout would result in portions of the old or existing roadway to no longer be included in the design of that intersection. County Line Road lies between or on the border of Walworth and Rock Counties. The reconfigured portion of County Road M lies solely in Rock County. No part of the reconfigured roadway lies solely in Walworth County. Dr. Falera actively opposed Rock County's actions by circulating a petition for area residents' signatures who were concerned about the safety of the intersection's new design. In response to concerns raised by Dr. Falera and like-minded citizens, Rock County voted on July 12th of 2012 to halt work on the reconfiguration. In October of 2012, Rock County reversed its decision and recommenced work on the reconfiguration. Rock County completed work on the intersection in July of 2013. On September 9th of 2014, the town of Johnstown and the town of Richmond held a joint meeting at which each town voted to issue a highway order to discontinue portions of roadway no longer in use after the reconfiguration. Dr. Polera sat in the front row of the September 9, 2014 joint meeting and spoke at the podium in opposition to the issuance of the highway orders.
So the highway orders were to vacate parts of the former roadway, not to challenge where the new intersection was laid out. Is that correct?
Your Honor, my understanding is that the highway orders were to officially abandon those roadways that were no longer in use.
But it didn't change the reconfiguration done by Rock County of the new intersection.
Exactly, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
How did Rock County have the authority to do that without some sort of highway order?
Your Honor, that may be the subject of a different lawsuit.
I'm sorry. I'm just asking if that's, because it seems like this went backwards. You know, it was done out of order.
Yes, Your Honor. I don't represent the county, and I don't know under what authority it felt that it could go ahead and do this work without following what we understand to be the statutory procedures that certainly my clients are obligated to proceed under had they been the push for this reconfiguration.
But are you aware of an area of authority for the highway department to just do the kind of work that it did without some sort of highway order?
I am not.
Okay.
Your Honor, Your Honor, just get back where I left off. The town of Richmond issued its written highway order on September 16th of 2014 and provided a copy to Dr. Polera and counsel assisting her in another case related to the reconfiguration of the intersection on September 9th of 2014. The town of Johnstown issued a written order on September 26th of 2014 and provided a copy to Dr. Polera by mail on September 29th or 28th or 29th of 2014. Written orders were filed with the Register of Deeds, the town of Richmond filing its highway order on October 3rd of 2014, and the town of Johnstown filing its written order in Rock County on November 3rd of 2014. And as Your Honors are aware, Dr. Polera filed a petition for review in Walworth County on November 3rd of 2014, and she filed her petition for review in Rock County on December 1st of 2014. Your Honor, I've kind of outlined the essential statutes, but we've kind of gotten beyond that, and I want to jump right in to what I believe is the essential case law and what I believe should be the starting point of this court's, selection of how to rule in this case, and that is the Dawson case.
But do you agree that it's hard to apply these highway orders to 68.13, and now we have to to figure out what the final determination is not easy?
I believe, Your Honor, it's incongruous, and I believe that Dawson set the stage for that perfectly.
Okay.
And, you know, as we've discussed already, in Dawson there was no highway order that was issued. And so the court, my understanding of what Dawson did is it framed the issue for this court because it was coming. At some point, there was going to be a highway order that actually had been issued as opposed to denied, and the court was going to have to decide this question. And the way that it was teed up by the Dawson court was, as we've talked about already, that footnote, the phrase receipt of a final determination in section 68.13 is not clear in the context of a highway order. It could mean the date that one or more municipalities vote to grant or deny an application or resolution. It could be the date that a notice of the determination is received by an appellant, if a notice is sent. And then we've got the third option, which is not raised in Dawson, but is proposed by Dr. Polera in this case. And, you know, I have
How is the town, either one of them, disadvantaged by just taking the longer date and letting Dr. Polera have her review? How does that disadvantage? So the intersection's done, and what she's objecting to is the vacation, apparently, of the old roads that aren't used anymore. So how is the town disadvantaged by not just saying, okay, well, we're not sure what the statute means, but in the interest of serving the public, we'll just say, fine, we'll go with the later date, and your thing was timely, and we go forward?
Your Honor, substantively, I'm not sure that the towns are disadvantaged. You know, when The towns, quite frankly, have felt like the passenger on a train that they didn't have a lot of control over in this litigation. And the goal as counsel for the towns is to as expeditiously and cost-effectively resolve their problems as we could.
Mm-hmm.
Your Honor, and if you would, I hope you don't mind if I flip the question and say, to what advantage does Dr. Pallera have if this case is heard? And you know, kind of the elephant in the room from the town's perspective is, we didn't change the intersection. Towns didn't change it. The towns don't have the authority to put it back where it was. Dr. Pallera has been very passionate about her desire to see this intersection put back the way it was. I do not, and granted I'm only one legal mind, but my mind is, I do not see any scenario in which this litigation can give Dr. Pallera what she wants.
How do you vacate the road? I mean,
they can.
How do you vacate the road? That was the highway order here to vacate. How do you do it?
As a practical matter, are you asking me as a practical matter what happened here?
Yeah.
The intersection was obviously reconfigured by Rock County.
Right.
Okay. And what we had is little pieces of road that were no longer in use that we had not yet abandoned and therefore had a duty to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope I'm answering your question.
Yes.
Your
so when you vacated, you'd stop maintaining it.
And the land went back to the adjoining property owners.
Okay. And they could do what they want. They could
plow it up. Absolutely.
They could crush the asphalt or concrete on the road. They could put trees on it or do whatever they want.
Absolutely.
The difference.
So the concept of what harm is it here in giving her enough time is people have done things on the basis of the vacating the road, and what we were looking, we're trying to look for, I think, is a rule that would cover as many cases as possible, not have a different rule for many different fact scenarios.
Yes, Your Honor.
Is that right?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
That's what we're trying to do, right?
That is our goal, Your Honor.
So what's your choice?
My choice is the date of the vote. And, Your Honor, I having appeared in front of two county judges, I have the cost reasoning and the McCrory reasoning. And I have to tell you, I like them both for two different reasons, but this is why.
Well, you don't have to say that. They won't know what you said here.
Okay, I'll say
they
that for another
listen.
Day.
Wisconsin, aye.
Your Honor, I the cost reasoning was the date of the vote. And Judge Koss pointed out that if you're interested in what's going on in your municipality, you do all of the things that Dr. Pallera did. You look for the notices. You show up at the meetings. You circulate petitions. And when there's a big meeting that is going to decide this, you not only show up, you sit in the front row and you speak at the podium. So if you've got a dog in the fight, if you're going to be a potentially aggrieved party, you're there, you know about it, and the date that the vote is issued is the date not only that everybody else has constructive notice, but that you have actual notice. And that was Judge Koss's reasoning. Judge McCrory.
But your opposing counsel and Ms. Pallera are arguing that the decision could be changed somehow from that presumably oral decision rendered at the town board meeting. So how could that be a final determination, or how do you respond to that argument?
Another meeting, Your Honor. I think that counsel conceded that if a change is going to be made, a substantive change, another meeting is noticed up. And if you're the community activist that Dr. Pallera is, you know about it, you attend that meeting and you're aware of that vote.
But by that time, the 30 days have elapsed. Because the first meeting is held, and then 30 days are running, and then after the 30 days are over, they have another meeting and they change it.
Two petitions, Your Honor. You file the first one within 30 days of the first decision, and if another decision is issued, you file another petition.
And then you could probably eliminate the first one because it's no longer in effect.
That's be my position, Your Honor. Just to, sorry, I kind of lost there, but I believe
We were talking about what is your choice of the three interpretations, and you picked the date of the vote.
Yes, Your Honor. And I believe what Dawson had discussed and what Your Honor, Justice Abramson had discussed is the date that a party had received a copy of a highway order as being the second point. And in phrasing my argument, I referred to that as actual notice. And I could see a situation where perhaps I like the date of the vote because I think the aggrieved persons have notice, but I think that if you're going to pick a second alternative, as opposed to talking about the time that you received the order, I would say the time that you received information regarding the final determination.
Well, if you look at the statute, it talks about receipt. 6813 says within 30 days of receipt of the final determination. So you are saying, well, you can receive it with your ears, or you can receive it in the mail. So that's how you're interpreting it.
It is, okay. Your Honor.
Yeah.
How
thank
about
you.
Your eyes? This project was complete before this order was even envisioned to be done. What sort of that? See, my frustration with this case is it doesn't neatly fall into the statutes, but neither side really followed the statutes. So what do we do with that? We're asked to follow the statutes and figure out how this works when this project didn't comply with the statutes. So what do you do with the law when no one follows it?
Your Honor, and I think that's the – there's a couple of elephants in the room here. You know, and one of them is what I would say, you know, it just doesn't matter because the intersection has already been reconfigured. I mean, this happened back.
But it can't be that the government can go do whatever it wants, and then after the fact, the people have to scramble to figure out how they undo something that's already been done. That's not how this is supposed to work either. And that can't be something that you're asking us to bless.
And with all due respect, Your Honor, all I can say is that was the county. And right now we're you know, it's the town's actions that are under the microscope, appropriately so. And anything that the town did, the town is willing to answer for.
Right, but the town really didn't reconfigure the intersection. So all we're dealing with today is we should look at what do we do with a highway order that deals with vacating the use of what had once been a roadway, which is no longer being used in the intersection for roadway. Is that right?
That is correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
And why aren't you just arguing that the town was basically just having the paperwork match the reality?
Yes.
And that, you know, you issued an order so that it would reflect that these roads are no longer connected in this intersection this way.
Not just that, but to relieve it from the obligation of maintaining areas that had been designated roads.
The problem is that doesn't provide a lot of relief to the person who wants to object to the whole thing when it's already done.
I believe that there were other forums within which she could have objected, and again, that's not this lawsuit.
Are there other lawsuits pending on this?
There were.
Okay.
The Court of Appeals on its own consolidated these two town cases. Is that a mistake?
No, Your Honor.
The Court of Appeals takes counsel for the towns to task. Let's see, what's their last? It appears to be a form of gamesmanship that we discourage and can potentially lead to judicial estoppel. And I put parentheses, strong words to follow, because those are pretty strong words. What's your response to the assertion made in the last paragraph of the last footnote of the Court of Appeals opinion on the last page?
Your Honor, I blushed when I read it. I had no intention to play games with any court in the state of Wisconsin or elsewhere. When we file motions, we try to get the best result most expeditiously for our client. That was my intention as an officer of the court, and that was my only intention.
Is it your intent that the result would be that there's no county that's going to have venue to resolve this?
Your Honor, the short answer is no. I think that the appropriate county was Rock County. I was not sitting in council chair for Dr. Pallera in terms of why they chose to file, in which county, when they chose to file. It was a bit of a mystery to the lawyers in my office why they didn't file before they had a copy of the document that we've been talking about today, the highway order, and why they didn't just file it in Rock County. I'm not going to accuse them of gamesmanship. I blush if I'm accused of gamesmanship. I filed these pleadings, so I own that. And I apologize to the court if that was the interpretation.
Well, I mean, where does it leave? Where does it leave the plaintiff? A woman, a man without a country, and a woman without a county. Is that it?
Your Honor, I think she's got a couple of counties. But in this particular, on these particular facts, even if she had timely filed, I don't think she would get the result that she's seeking, which is putting the basically Humpty Dumpty back together again. I don't think that anyone in the town has the authority, in either of the towns, to get that intersection back the way Dr. Pallera believes that it should be for the safety of all of the residents of her community.
So what should we do with the case if you're right? She can't do it. There's no result here that can satisfy her. Why are we having this case before us?
Your
Is
Honor,
this just an advisory opinion then?
Your Honor, I think that the relief that Dr. Pallera could get if this court found that the petitions were timely filed is a remand back to Rock County.
And then what does Rock County do?
And then Rock County takes the issue up on certiorari and hears the merits of the case. But even if Dr. Pallera is successful on certiorari review, I don't think that that gets the intersection reconfigured.
That's what I heard you say before, even though you didn't have it go back. So why? What good is the case? Doesn't help. Doesn't have a result that's favorable to the plaintiff.
Your Honor, I do not mean to speak for opposing counsel or opposing party, but I don't know if Dr. Pallera would appreciate that would accept that I had told her that.
We can ask counsel on rebuttal whether there's any way of putting this cracked eggs together again.
Thank you.
Now, if I understand your argument, whether you take one, two, or three, including the recording, she wasn't timely.
Your Honor, I believe that if you take her argument from the date of recording, 30 days from the date of recording, she was timely in Walworth County.
Okay. But otherwise not.
Correct.
Well, then it wouldn't give you a remand back to Rock County because they're not the ones that redid the intersection.
Your Honor, I think it could if this court rejected my venue argument or if the court found that venue is not it's basically remand to Walworth to switch to Rock.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
If Your Honors have no additional questions, I'll concede the mic.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Rebuttal?
Yes.
Well, is there any way of putting Humpty Dumpty back together again?
I think that the lack of a potential remedy, which was not briefed as we came into this court, but the remedy of remand puts that decision-making back in front of the courts and with the parties as it could be in terms of the potential for fashioning a relief.
It almost seems like had the county or had the towns not taken action to do an order and file it with the register and deeds, your day in court would have been done because this project was complete, your client was out there, apparently picketing or doing whatever there was to do. The road was done, it was built, and then, you know, basically at that point, it was a done deal. And then the towns thought, well, we better have the Register of Deeds office at least reflect that these roads don't exist anymore and who owns this property. So this is a tough one because neither side is all that right.
I think that either her time ran because she would have had notice, but then she would have had to bring a type of, mandamus or declaratory judgment that Dawson said is not a proper approach. The proper approach when you're looking at a Chapter 82 is Chapter 68. Mm-hmm. So observing the change and then trying to interpret Dawson that says you need a final determination, and when there's an issuance, that's a highway order.
On my drive over here this morning, there are a number of roads that come up and stop. You know, they're abandoned roads. If I were somebody that moved into that area and then just decided and looked it up and there wasn't something filed with the Register of Deeds, could I then complain that something that had been there for a significant period of time shouldn't be there and try to undo it?
I think that under the statute, there's nothing that would prevent that from occurring other than perhaps more equitable doctrine like latches or something else that would apply. Here, clearly, we have, you know, in terms of the decision, the highway order being entered, you know, rapid action. And I think the remedies that are potentially available, again, the underlying concern for Dr. Pallera is safety. And whether it's not just a Sisyphean task to go back to what was, but an effort to make the intersection more safe.
Just say you go down on judicial review and you have your day and the order, which is really just vacating roads that aren't part of the intersection anymore, is disapproved for whatever reason, okay? So the roads that aren't being used are just going to stay there. That's going to be your remedy if you get the hearing that you've asked for, right? So if you go through Chapter 68.13, and we agree that, yep, you timely filed, you get a review, and if you win, it just says the roads that aren't part of the intersection just can't be vacated. So they're just going to sit there. But that doesn't get you back before Rock County. I'm a little lost on that one.
I think you would have remand back to the towns and presumably an effort to try to see how that intersection can be made. And again, if the abandoned towns are maintained again, you once again have a right intersection that avoids some of the safety issues with the curvature.
Oh, you think the town can overrule what Rock County did?
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, all of this seems like it hasn't maybe been thought through.
I mean, what's your remedy? How do you know, if you win, what is your remedy? That's a different way of asking
your question.
Remedy are you entitled to? What claim have you made for which relief can be granted?
In the petitions themselves, they're seeking, obviously, review, change, following the statutes, a safety committee, a safety review. And I think there'd be a variety of options
available.
But it's
not a safety review of the roads that the order vacated. So we don't have before us the reconfiguration. That's not before us.
Correct. And this court would never, I mean, in terms of the remedy, the whole purpose of the certiorari review would be to remand to the circuit court. The circuit court might very well determine it cannot make initial fact-finding and say this needs to be considered from scratch by the towns.
Who do the abandoned roads belong to right now?
I don't know the answer to that question.
They don't go to the property owner?
I am uncertain of the answer to that question.
Because there are statutes that deal with that.
But yes. I thought that's what she said earlier.
If it goes to the property owner, would part of your relief be that they have to somehow condemn that and then reimburse the property owner? And then, I mean, I'm not getting where you get your relief. I'm just not tracking with how your claim provides you with the relief.
I think the questions for what that remedy can ultimately and practically be are difficult given the fact that Rock County and then the towns move forward with something that is absolutely not permissible under the statutes and made the change. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Pallera is also struggling to see, how can I address this? How can I bring this before somebody for review? And if the answer is just there is no such way, it's not a fair result.
Well, the answer is that can't do anything up here. The only way you might get do something is to get it back to the circuit court, the circuit court might be able to do something once you got the town in there and get Rock County in there.
Correct.
Or Walworth County.
All those procedural options would be available.
Did Dawson, I know it got rid of declaratory judgment, Dawson's case, did it also get rid of a mandamus?
That was not directly addressed in Dawson in terms of the claims. They spoke, the case opinion itself spoke in terms of the declaratory judgment, mm-hmm. and the conclusion by the court was that the only relief is 6813 unless an exceptional case of some sort can be proven.
Okay. Another exception. Okay, very good. Thank you so much. Well, this is very complicated. When I read the briefs, I wasn't initially thinking it was quite so complicated. Well, it's very, very interesting. You both did a fine job, both in your briefs and in arguments. So thank you. It always helps us when the lawyers do a good job. We are then concluded for our public hearing for the day, and we will meet again in closed conference at 3:05. Thank you.
Thank you.